Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
God is good, isn't he? Yeah, he is very good, and I'm just very excited for what God's about to do. Jen, come on. So, from time to time, God just kind of marks people with a word. I know he's marked several of us. In the past, he's marked Lamont, Jessica Stewart, Caleb. He just marked recently and just said, hey, I've got a word brewing on the inside of him. Jen was marked not too long ago. I know in a couple weeks, a month or so, something like that, Tish has a word about just what she's seeing God saying and doing that she's going to share with you. And I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for people that are not passive, that don't just sit back, but people that are pressing into the Spirit of God and are willing to take a risk and just pour themselves out. I can tell you it's a high honor and a high responsibility to bring the word to you all, because you all are in high expectation. You're easy people to pastor because you're hungry after God. That's why you're here. And I'm very grateful for that. And I'm grateful for those of you that God is just lifting up and marking and speaking into. And that is no exception in Jen Metzger. Jen is a prophet of God. That's something that we don't just throw out titles. We identify what people are walking in, and then just, I mean, it's easy when someone's walking in something. If someone is you know, mopping floors, cleaning out toilets, sweeping floors, it's not hard to call them a janitor because they're already doing the work. If somebody's teaching children and in the classroom with a chalkboard and goes to a public school and is in front of the children every day, it's not hard to call them a school teacher because that's what they do. And it's not hard to call Jen a prophet. Many, many years ago, I saw her as that God's put that mantle on her and released that in her. And day by day, she's growing in that. She's learning to walk in that. Please don't ever put the pressure on someone, anyone in this house, that they are fully matured and arrived. Always give us the room that we're growing. Because we are all growing, including you. Is that right? Say that. Say, I'm still growing. And just because you take the mic up here, no matter who you are, just because you grab an instrument, no matter who you are, we're all still growing. And so that's where we need your encouragement and your love and your mercy and your expectation. So stand up with me right now. What I want you to do right now is cause your expectation to arise that this daughter of this house would just bring from heaven, because she's been seated, positioned in heaven, and now she's taking what she received in heaven, and she's about to release it onto the earth into fertile vessels that are going to cause the kingdom to grow and release in Jesus' mighty name. Say, I'm a vessel. And I'm expecting for kingdom seed to come from this woman in Jesus' name. Would you welcome right now Jen Metzger and give God a hand clap?
Thank you all. I look forward to being able to bring you the word, and I thank Pastor Brian for being a spiritual father, because, you know, along with that comes, you know, the good things, but, you know, he's there. He's a father. You know, how many of you know it's important to have somebody that you can turn to and let them, you know, correct you and feed you and just be there. So I thank him. I thank Janice as well. She's always there as well. Today I want to talk to you about the title of my message is, Am I Taking My Thoughts Captive or Are They Taking Me? The Lord's been talking to me about this for about a month, this message. And how many of you know in that month, whatever you're about to present to the body of Christ, it comes at you. so to speak. The enemy will make sure you know what you're talking about. The past month, the Lord has really showed me a lot about thoughts and taking thoughts captive. And I'm not perfect at it yet, but, you know, I'm getting better. And I'd really like to share with you what he showed me. It's really good stuff. So, our thoughts come from three places. They can come from God. And how many of you know those are good ideas usually? That's a, you know, we use the phrase, oh, that's a God idea. I like that. That sounds good. Because it kind of hits you, you know. God has allowed us to think for ourselves. He's given us free will. He's given us a mind that we can produce thoughts and ideas. And a lot of times those are good ideas too. How many of those that come from yourself can be not so good as well? The third place is the enemy gives you thoughts. Did you all know that? Okay, good. A lot of times his thoughts are distractions. He takes the truth that God gives us and he just twists it, sometimes just a little bit. A lot of those thoughts produce fear and doubt. Fear and doubt is basically just a big distraction to keep us from God's truth. Always confront doubt. That's one as soon as it presents itself, you need to stomp that one. Because when that takes root, it can produce a whole harvest of yuck that you have to go through and pick out piece by piece to get back to God's truth. So our thoughts are very important. Our thoughts kind of dictate where we go and what we do. We can't do anything without having a thought first. So what I see in the mirror, or what you see in the mirror, when no one else is defining you or defining me, is crucial. When you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, what you see is crucial. When nobody's, you know, saying what a good person you are or how bad of a person you are, or nobody else is defining you, what you think of yourself matters. And why is that so? Why is it so important of how I see myself? Because I know I'm made, and you know that you are made in God's image. So how I see him defines me. So let's talk about who is your God. Is he powerful? Does he know everything? Or just something sometimes? Is he capable? The situation that you're in, is he capable of getting you through it? Or here's one, does he like you? You make up these things and you decide these things for yourself in your mind. You become what you think the most important in your life, the person that you think most about, you become what you think they think about you. All right, did that make sense? Let me say that again. That was a little tricky. I worked on that for a while. Didn't come quite out the way I wanted it to. However you see the most important person in your life, whatever you think they think about you is what you become. So it's important we see God for who he is. I asked you before, is he strong? Is he capable? Does he know everything, or just, you know, does he like you? How we think about God is crucial to how we will weather a storm. You'll either get under his wing and let him protect you, or you'll just be beat about by the storm. I don't know about you, but I've let a few storms in my life beat me about. It's not fun. There's always recovery time. But when you get under his wing and under his protection, because what is that? That's the words he's saying over you. That's the truth that he has said over you, the things that you've held in your heart. In our armor of God that God gives us, he gives us a helmet. It's called the helmet of salvation. Now, the Lord showed me when he was talking to me about this, he showed me that helmet of salvation, of saving, goes right on your head, right where you keep your brain, right where you think, okay? So in other words, my thinking has received salvation if I have that helmet on. How I think is saved. With that helmet on, not only can you think like God, but you can think with God. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." That phrase, taking thoughts captive, that's something, if you've been born again or you've been a Christian for 5 minutes, that's something you've heard probably a dozen times already. I've been saved since I was 9 years old, and I grew up with this phrase, but I never really knew what that meant or what that looked like. And I think that's what a lot of us think. Caleb preached about this a month ago. When you got up, I was just starting this message, and I thought, that bugger took my message. But that just proves that this is on God's heart, and he really, really wants us. He wants us to think with him. I mean, do you all feel good when you see your kids struggling with something? No, and Father doesn't either. And so he gives us his mind so that we can think with him on things. Romans 12:2. Here's another verse that we're really familiar with. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay, so let's keep it up there just a little bit, Conlon. We're going to mess with this a little bit. I want to show you something. Okay, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're used to, all right, Lamont just did the tithes and offerings. We're used to, we do something and then God reciprocates that. He does something for us. If you give your tithe, God will open the windows of heaven and he will pour out a blessing so big that you cannot receive it. Here it says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If I renew my mind, I will prove and I will find the perfect will of God. So it's up to you. This is something you do. Joshua 1:8, please. I have lots of scripture, but scripture's good, and we're going to We're going to eat a big full meal today, okay? All right. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Again, these are all scriptures that we all probably know by heart. But if you go to Isaiah 31:4, but this is what the Lord has told me. When a strong lion stands growling over a sheep it has killed, it is not frightened by the shouts and noise of a whole crowd of shepherds. Okay, leave that up. Go back, Colin. Thank you so much. I'm giving lots of direction, but you're right there. You're doing good. Excuse me. Okay, that word meditate that we just read in Joshua 1:8, when you look it up in the original Hebrew, it's the same word as growling in this one. It's the same word. A lot of times when we think of the word meditate, we think, you know, emptying your mind, finding that peaceful place. No. Meditation is a violent thing. When you meditate in a godly way, you grab hold of something and you say, no, this is mine. I am not letting go of this. I am going to hold on to this, and I'm going to keep the enemy away from it until I eat it and digest it and it becomes part of me. Okay? Biblical meditation is filling your mind with God's thoughts. We do this with it. We pick something up. You know, we're reading our Bible and we come across that verse that the Holy Spirit just like highlights to you and says, and you think, excuse me, oh, that's good. And you hold on to that all day long until that verse is part of you. Okay? That's what biblical meditation is. It's not a passive little, if you can worry, you can meditate. Because the enemy has taught you how to meditate in the wrong direction. Okay? This requires you speaking to yourself a lot. I grew up with people, you know, my grandmother, just because I'm talking to myself doesn't mean I'm crazy. All right? If you want to stay not crazy, if you want to stay in the will of God and with the mind of God, you got to talk to yourself. And if you want to answer yourself, that's fine too. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I am the tail, I am not the, I am the head, I am not the tail. Excuse me. I am the head, I am not beneath. I'm a daughter of God. You know, you got to tell yourself these things because the world and the enemy will tell you the opposite. What did Pop say earlier? He wants to single us out so he can take us out. He is not playing, and neither should we. This was my ending statement. I'm not finishing, sorry, but I'm not yet. But I want to insert it here. We're entering a time, prophetically speaking, we are entering a time that God is releasing for now. We are entering, I can't call it a season because it's not spring, summer, winter, or fall. This is a time, an epoch time, an era that God has prepared for us who live right now to enter and to do. In order for us to operate into this new time and further his kingdom, which is, you know, Pastor Brian said that earlier to her, that's the whole thing. The enemy doesn't want God's kingdom furthered. That's all he's about. All of his tactics, all of his scheming, you know, the reason why, I'm sorry if you don't know this, that he hates you, is he doesn't want God's kingdom to further. God's given that job to us. He has chosen to partner with us in that. If we do not Excuse me, my voice is cracking. And I want this to be very clear. If we do not start thinking with God, the enemy will have his way and the kingdom of God will not be furthered. Because this requires new thinking. We cannot enter this new time with old mindsets. Excuse me. Hate to do this to y'all, but it's quite new, so. Okay. There's this phrase that we've all used, and I dare say that I don't like to give him too much credit, but the enemy has used it so much that we don't even think about it anymore. Did you ever be talking to somebody and you see a God thing happen, or you think a God thing and you think, well, maybe it was just in my imagination? And we use that phrase as, I'm just making stuff up. Let me tell you, your imagination is a gift from God. It is meant to be coupled with your faith. When you close your eyes and you see that black screen, that is a gift of God. That's the screen where your imagination is played like a movie. Let me ask you a question. When God created light, did he think about what it looked like before he said it? Your imagination excuse me, I'm very sorry. I'm getting over something. Say hallelujah, she's healed. For God spoke anything into being, he imagined it. He saw it with his mind. And he gives us the same gifting. He gives us the same power. Your imaginations are a gift from God. And I know myself included. And I've talked to a lot of other prophetic people. The same thing kind of happens. You see somebody trip, and your imagination takes that, and pretty soon you're at this person's funeral because you imagined that. Now, that's the enemy suggesting things that we run away with, meditating in the wrong direction. But if God gives you a promise, and you use your imagination, you hook up your faith to it, and you picture it in your mind, when he says, your son will be saved, your daughter will be healed, your family will come back to Christ, you will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. These are the things that we are to use our imagination for. This is what it's for. Our imaginations are very powerful. So if you let me, I'm going to lead us all into repentance for allowing the enemy, or even our own thoughts, for corrupting our imagination. So everybody stand up. If you wanna do this, please stand up. Close your eyes. I'm gonna tell you to activate your screen, so to speak. That means close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, you have that blank space. That's the screen of your imagination. Say, Father God, I am sorry I didn't realize what I did. But I allowed my imagination to be used to bring forth evil things. I have kept my imagination from you because I didn't want to feel like I was just making stuff up. So, Father, I repent. I ask your forgiveness. And now, Lord, I give you my imagination. Please show me things that I could not imagine on my own. Show me your kingdom coming. Show me, Lord, miracles, signs, wonders. Use all of my senses, Lord, to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job, guys. Okay, James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I used to think, and maybe you used to think this way too, that when God made me, he says, we'll give her brown hair and green eyes and do this. And now that she's done, I think she'll be a mom and we'll make her a prophet too. That's not what he does. In this verse, it says he had a work. He wanted to do something. And so he had this work. I need somebody to prophesy. I need somebody to mother children. And then he made me around that. He prepared the work. Then he made, he knew what I would do before he made me. There was this phrase growing up, I'm going to say probably like 80s, you can't work your way into heaven. You can't get into heaven through works. So no, you can't. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Only through salvation through him is the way into heaven. But unless I work and do what God tells me to do, how will they know whose I am? How will they see? Jesus did what he saw the Father doing. That's what we're to do. We do what our Father is doing. So if we go and I go into Starbucks and I see somebody that, you know what, I just want to buy their coffee. I feel like the Lord's telling me, just buy their coffee. And so I buy their coffee and I feel good about that. I was doing what I saw the Father doing, and I didn't have to say the name of Jesus or God to this person, but they're seeing what he does, okay? Your works should preach the gospel before you open your mouth. Okay, Ephesians 2. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. All right, I jumped the gun. This is the scripture where it says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He created the work, and then he created us around the work. He didn't think, oh, let's make all these beautiful children. Now what will they do? No, no, no. He had, you had purpose before you were even formed. Okay? Back in Genesis, Cain was jealous of Abel because God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but he didn't accept Cain's. When I was a little girl, you remember those books that you used to have? They had like a tape with a cassette tape with them, and it was, you got them before you could read, and it would read it to you and go beep, and you turn the page. I had one about Cain and Abel, and I thought that Cain didn't like, or God didn't like Cain because all he had was fruits and vegetables, and Abel was the one blessed with the livestock and stuff, because that was their jobs. That was wrong thinking. God did not accept Cain's sacrifice because Cain gave it with a wrong heart. Cain was given, like, the vegetables that he wouldn't eat or that he didn't want, whereas Abel was giving the best of the flock. So God has a conversation with Cain. It's Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." In other words, Cain, if you do good, you'll feel good. It's what you were created for. If you're depressed, do something good. Excuse me. Basically, God said to Cain, fix your face. Your mother ever tell you that? Fix your face. That's what he's saying. He says, fix your face. You're acting depressed because you're not doing what you were created to do. As someone who has battled depression, that's very good advice. If you're depressed, go before the Lord. All right, Lord, is there something I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not? And then do that, what he tells you to do. I want to tell you that feeling good about yourself is not a sin. No, we are not to walk in pride or the flip side of that, insecurity. But when you go to, when the Lord puts it on your heart to do something for someone else or to stand up in church and give a word or prophesy and you feel good about that, that's kind of your reward. You're acting like your father. That's a good thing. Do we like it when our kids are don't feel good about themselves and aren't sure of their identity? No. God wants us to know who we are. We are His. We are His sons and daughters. We are created for good works. We do what He does. It's a family business. We look like Him because He made us in His image. We're His kids. Let me recap. What you think about you matters. What you say to yourself matters. Your thoughts should not control you, but you should control them. Caleb, if you didn't hear Caleb's message, he gave us excellent directions, practical ways of taking thoughts captive. Meditate on what God says. Sift. Tell the wrong thoughts the truth. Speak to yourself. Speak to your thoughts. Nope. I get, if you were to see me by myself, I get a little peeved sometimes. Nope. I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. Nope. Not going there. This is what God says. Then you walk out the meditation through works. City Church, God loves you a lot. That's what I feel. I feel His love for you right now in this moment. And connect with him. Connect with his mind. Think his thoughts. Because he has such loving thoughts towards you and for you. I just come against fear in the name of Jesus right now. People are showing me there's some who are hearing me that they're afraid to present themselves to God because they're afraid of what he will show them. Lord, I ask that you would just show these people what you think of them, Lord. What you see through your eyes, how loved they are. Just thank you, Lord. Of course, I've been talking to, my whole message has to do with people that if you already know Jesus Christ, if you don't know him, then you can't have his mind. If there is anyone here that would like to know him that doesn't, you can see me afterwards. I'll be up here hanging out for a little while. But I'm going to close. I'm going to let you go. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to me. And have a good week, City Church. Be blessed.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.